Okay, we can start with just a light review from last time, and while I think for the next couple of minutes people might still be joining. For those that haven't been here in our first meeting, so this is our second meeting of the Climate Action and Accountability and Accounting Special Interest Group. My name is Martin Weinstein. I'm one of the co-chairs along with Tom, who's also online. I have different hats, so does Tom. I run the Yale Open Innovation Lab, where we focus a lot on climate and energy and a program on digital finance at the MIT Media Lab. I'm an advisor to the Spatial Web Foundation and different other initiatives as well. So I've been working on climate and energy for a while. And I'm extremely excited to have the privilege to honor this amazing community to facilitate the dialogue around our own climate in I would say one of the most urgent years in the history of climate challenge, because of the symbolic role that 2020 has in being the historic year of peak emissions, according to almost every integrative assessment model, in our chance to achieve 1.5 and 2 degrees. So that being said, be good to also, for those that haven't been here in the first meeting, Tom, maybe you can give an introduction, and David Boswell, who's extremely active in the group from Hyperledger and Linux, to give a quick intro. So maybe Tom, you can give a quick intro as well.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks, Martin. Hi, everyone. Tom Bauman calling from Ottawa, Canada. In addition to being co-chair of the SIG with Martin, one of my other hats is as co-chair of the Climate Chain Coalition, which is a not-for-profit global open network of organizations, multi-stakeholder, around 200 organizations in 50 countries that maybe a little less than half are actually blockchain or digital solution providers, and the others are researchers and all other stakeholder groups. I co-chair the coalition with the UN Climate Change Secretariat, who is very aware of the prospective benefits of digital and blockchain in particular for supporting the achievement of the Paris Agreement goals, although we're also looking beyond the UN international process, for example, the financial sector, which is arguably starting to lead on momentum to incorporate climate and sustainability and also to use digital tools for the value add that they bring. So I'm very much looking forward to this SIG. I think it's going to make a huge contribution to not only the state of knowledge, but informing the networks needed to move the whole field forward. I'll leave it there. Thanks, Martin.
David, you want to say a quick word?
Sure. Hi, everybody. For those I haven't met, my name is David Boswell. I'm one of the staff members here at the Linux Foundation working on Hyperledger. And my role is to support the group. There are a number of different special interest groups across the Hyperledger community, each one focused on a different set of challenges. And so, I'm basically here to help each of those groups with whatever it is they're trying to achieve. So I'm really excited about this group, really excited about the scope of what we're talking about and wanting to work on. And if there's anything at all that I can help with, just feel free to reach out. I am going to be on these meetings as much as I can. I'm also going to be online, so reach out on the list, on the meetings, or reach out to me directly.
Awesome. Thanks, David, and thanks for all the help and support that you've been giving. It's amazing to receive such a good infrastructure for community development from Linux and Hyperledger. And for those that were here last time, we'll continue doing some of these quick introductions at the beginning, but hopefully they'll subside. So the agenda for today is up in the wiki for everyone that is still getting up to date. The Hyperledger's wiki is wiki.hyperledger.org. and in the top. So the Climate Action SIG is considered a group. And so the fastest way to navigate is go to the group tab and then go to Climate Action SIG. And there is a tab for meetings. We have a review from last meeting, which was on February 11th. And this meeting has the agenda posted. Last meeting, we had 25 participants. We gave a quick introduction into what we thought and conceived the SIG to be as a space for dialogue and also foster new projects and initiatives. And everyone that was in the meeting was able to share out a bit why they thought that it was important to SIG, why they joined, what was their background. And we had an amazing repertoire of companies or larger organizations and startups and individuals. So the point of the first part of this meeting was just to review anything that was mentioned last time. Because it was the kickoff, there was not a specific topic that we dove into. It was mostly just to set the scene. And there were a couple of comments that did surface in last meeting that we added them to the discussion topics for this meeting, particularly around the role of standards. So the idea for this one is to go over some of those topics and sort of chart out ideas for the year that we can organize in terms of, for example, webinars, working groups, things like that. And I'd love for providing a space today for everyone to contribute ideas that you think the SIG should have in its year pipeline. And we can share them verbally, but also I'll create a list that you can go into the wiki and edit directly. If everyone has any issues with editing or participating in the wiki space, please let us know as soon as possible. We're happy to help, but most of the information on how to do that is online. Okay, so the couple of topics that we had today, I mean, I'd love for everyone that did not give an introduction to themselves and their organization last meeting, that they have a space to do that this meeting. And then we'll move into some discussion topics. Last time we had around 30 minutes of us introducing and 30 minutes of share out. Little by little, I would like to change that towards there's less talking time from our end at the beginning and then more share out and discussions. And so the topics that we have online for today as well, new introduction by members that did not assist the launch, discussing around working groups and strategies to define standards for climate accounting. This was something that was mentioned. And Tom has a lot of experience around standards and he wanted to share a couple of things around the strategy around it. The creation of resource section in Hyperledger frameworks that are relevant to climate. That's something that would be great for us to start figuring out how to provide more content to the resource tab of the wiki. Christian Pau, who I don't know if he's online, sent an email about his project Artem and migrating it to Climate Action SIG. And I think that leads to a very interesting dialogue around what's the scope of the SIG. Are projects meant to be incubated within the SIG, or is the SIG meant to facilitate the dialogue around different projects that are incubated wherever they are? But if they are meant to be moved towards the Hyperledger world, then the next step would be to fit them within the structure of a lab, eventually framework. So we can talk a bit more about that. The next point is the Hyperledger Global Forum that's coming up in March. So it's next week in Phoenix. I'll be there. I think David definitely will be there. Tom, unfortunately, won't be able to make it, but that will be a great opportunity for everyone to get to know each other, for sharing a bit about what the mission vision of the SIG is. The next topic we have is Hyperledger chat. I know that some folks have had issues with the server. Maybe we can discuss that. And then we have other things like introducing what's the role of Hyperledger labs which is a very important first step in the life cycle of a hyperledger framework. And I don't want to forget this time to talk about the opportunity for a summer mentorship program that Hyperledger offers, and the timeline for submitting project proposals are in February. So if you're, and that's, I think we'll wrap up, and each one of these things might lead to an interesting conversation. With that being said, Tom, I don't know if there's anything you want to add as an intro, and then maybe we can open it up the floor for new folks to share out.
No, nothing else to add at this point, but afterwards for sure. Thanks.
Great. So let's open up for the next 7 to 10 minutes for everyone that did not participate last time to share a bit about what they're working on, why they think this SIG is important, and what they were attracted to it. Just so that we can gather voices from the community.
Hi, Martine, this is Eileen Dewan. I was on the call last week, but there was not enough time to introduce myself. We founded climatehacks.org in order to showcase and drive funding down to the local global climate actions that are occurring in communities everywhere, and really put a spotlight on community teamwork. And we launched our DAO of DAOs at COP25 through some of the CCC engagements and meeting on Sunday afternoon there at the hotel, and also some press conferences that Miroslav Polster had arranged. We're very happy to engage in these activities. Personally, I have a background in standards. I worked for many years in 3G, 4G telecom, particularly in the Asia markets. I was the chair of the program management team. So that was the whole idea of focusing on the interoperability and the whole system functioning from end to end. So, there's an interesting playoff there, and the topics on the agenda will be of great interest, and we have to put on our corporate hats versus our community hats. So anyway, it's nice to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to say hello.
Maybe I'll jump in next. This is Jan Hendrik Scheufen. Hello, everyone. Have until a few weeks ago, I was the chief product officer at Monex, who is the main contributor to Hyperledger Burrow, which is an Ethereum virtual machine under the Hyperledger umbrella. I'm here because this is a deeply personal thing for me, the environment and doing something or finding some relevance here where I can apply my technical knowledge for a good cause and for something I care about. So I'm looking forward to meeting you all in Phoenix next week, and I'm very excited about what guidance this group can provide to bring everybody together a little bit and coordinate, because I see a ton of things happening on in individual projects, but the concerted effort, I think, is still lacking a bit. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Bobby Mascara. I'm from the Learning Materials Working Group, and I'm just here to offer support in developing product like white papers or use cases for the group. I'm also a member of the public sector group, so I'm very interested in how the synergies between those two groups can work out.
Hi, Bobby. Sorry, can you repeat again? You mentioned you're part of the. I'm taking notes and actions, and I missed the first part.
I'm part of the Learning Materials Working Group, and we offer templates and guidance on graphics and output that the group might produce to give it the Hyperledger look and feel. And I'm also a member of the Public Sector Working Group.
Great. Thank you so much. I actually was not aware of those groups. That's awesome.
All right, I'll jump in here. Hi, everyone. My name is Noel Conrad. I'm actually completely new to Hyperledger and this entire kind of technical side of blockchain and the community building. My background is in policy, actually. So I just recently graduated from Columbia University, and I'm really just interested in how blockchain can actually help with sustainable development goals. So I'm actually just here to learn and to see what the community has to offer. So, yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alex. I was actually part of the call last time, but as Eileen, there wasn't time for everyone to introduce themselves. So only my colleague Christian introduced himself. And yeah, on that note, I would actually like to apologize on behalf of Christian. He's not able to join tonight's call, though Montague and I will stand in for him when it comes to the part about discussing Artem and stuff. So hi, everyone.
Hi, my name is Mohammed Abdulaziz. I'm the CTO of Bloxy. I'm also new to Hyperledger and to the community as well. And I would love to see how we can get involved. We're an energy blockchain software provider, and we're really interested in renewable energy tracking, as well as other energy management, data management tools, and developing solutions for sustainable energy. So that's with me, and I would love to learn how I can get involved more, both on the climate as well as general energy blockchain side.
That's great. Mohammed, can you repeat again the name of your organization?
The name of our organization is BlockZ, BlockZ. We actually were the only energy startup invested in by Consensus in their Tachyon Accelerator program, and we recently made a partnership with Pegasus for Enterprise Ethereum. So that's a little bit about us.
That's great. Thanks. And I might just point out the I think Climate SIG has an involvement in energy, of course, because it's around 70% of the problem and the solution. And this social impact group. But then there's also Linux Foundation Energy as well that you might be interested in checking out that community, and we'll be exploring how to connect with them as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Is this something I can find out on the Climate SIG page on Hyperledger? Are these working groups or groups?
I can post the URL of LF Energy, and maybe I'll try to get Shirley Goodman, who's the executive director there, to also give a share out at some point on the different projects incubated there. It's just elfenergy.org. You'll find more there.
Thank you so much.
I didn't mean to cut the share out if anyone else wants to give a quick intro.
Yes, perhaps I can just say I'm Montague Murray. As Alex said, I'm also from Nova Institute. I also didn't introduce myself last week, but I think we'll get a chance also maybe to further talk about some of the ideas and then I can say more about myself. I can just briefly say Nova focuses on the healthy household culture in Southern Africa. So we're a not-for-profit company, and we focus on quality of life in the household context. And we're very interested in the effect of climate change on our region. And that is why we got involved with this kind of work. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, everyone. And so I will add to our notes your names and some of the things that you've shared out. And you can go in and edit it and add more info as well. And it reminds me to point out one thing that we walked through last meeting, which is the type of resources that we have in the wiki. And particularly, I want to point out towards the member directory. So that is our list of everyone that's involved. I know that some of you have already listed you and your organization into that list. What I've added just now is a tab, a column. This is a brief description of your project. Because even though we have a resource tab to share about meaningful projects, I think it might be useful to start exploring being able to add your description there. So you'll find that new addition in the member directory tab. And if you are not there, please add yourself. It really helps map where you're at and have other members find you and see what you're working on independent of our meetings. And then in terms of resources, that's the other tab to call attention, is that we have a space to be able to start listing things that we think are relevant for the SIG. We have already a section for online reports, and seeded that with a couple of relevant, let's say, seminal reports around this, online lists of initiatives that are relevant in the intersection of DLTs and block and climate. And we actually just put there another section around climate-related standards. One suggestion we had with Tom is to start enumerating some of the existing standards before we dive into new ones. I think that kind of concludes the first intro part, which means we could probably dive into some of the discussion topics. And maybe let's start with standards. Tom, hopefully you can pick this up here, since I know that you're not going to be here in the next couple of meetings. You can kick us off with the discussion around standards, and just to point towards this, I created a tab called Working Groups. This is also relevant for everyone. So it's always useful to have the wiki in front while we're having a call. Working Groups is a tab that will allow us to propose new working groups, to set them up, and some of the topics that I added in the landing page of working groups is just the topics that were mentioned before. So one is standard strategy and governance. The other one are actual digital climate standards. Another topic is interoperability and inter-blockchain communication. Another topic is creating a working group that can lead towards a climate lab at Hyperledger. And you can think of more topics that might lead to working groups, so you can add them directly there. And then I've added the working group template around once we're ready to create a consolidated working group, these are the type of information that we need to gather. And so that's the first internal page. Those are just two things to mention, but maybe with that, we can kick off some discussions around standards.
Sounds good. Martin, do you want me to jump in now?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Thanks for teeing up a discussion around standards, which was raised on the first call a couple weeks ago, and that we proposed that a strategy be developed and really create a process for developing a standards strategy, which would nest within a larger strategy for which the standards would support. And so as Martin had mentioned, I've spent about 20 years working in the area of standards for climate and clean tech and sustainability, and using digital tools for the support of standards development as well as standards implementation. I think it's fair to say in the last few years, with just the rapid evolution of what's possible now with digital tools, that even the world of standards is going to be significantly impacted, i.e. how are standards developed and then implemented through digital systems. Rather than, say, standards for blockchain, how can blockchain be used for standards to really transform how standards are developed and then implemented in order to achieve some of the benefits of having standards. For those of you who aren't standards geeks, standards have been around for quite a long time, whether they're simple measurement type standards and then industry technical standards going back 150 years. But it's really since the international system came out with part of the Bretton Woods efforts in the last 75 years or so, that standards for market access and trade and everything else started to be themselves standardized so that they wouldn't be technical barriers to trade. And so there's this large system that has often been behind the scenes, but contributes 1-2% of global GDP, which is enormous. That's on scale of certainly a G20 country, but and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, if you want to call it that. And yet, at least in the context of sustainability, which is a pretty challenging area, given you know the science of sustainability. And body of knowledge is still in flux and going to evolve for some time. Standardizing that area is going to be a heavy lift, and especially in certain areas of climate actions like adaptation. Greenhouse gas accounting has been around for 20, 30 years and continues to evolve. It's far from mature, at least from my perspective. And so in preparing, creating a working group around standards and developing a process for coming up with a strategy, I think would be smart first move. And you know, what would be part of that process? Certainly landscaping the existing climate standards and governance systems in order to identify what's happening right now at the interface with digital, because certainly there are some things that are happening to whatever extent, and then also some of the opportunities for improvement, such as improving how standards for climate accounting, and I'm going to stick first with mitigation because we can have very different conversations related to adaptation or even climate finance. What are the opportunities to simplify and improve the integrity of climate accounting across a value chain and more holistically so that, the almost countless number of climate actions in different types, cities and supply chains and you name it, how those all add up to the global carbon budget that we have to work with, because that hasn't been done to date due to limitations of tools and data and everything else. And so doing these types of landscapes and analyzing the opportunities to not just tweak the climate standards so that they're more efficiently implemented using digital tools, but to really take the opportunity to improve the value generated by standards, because even at 1-2% of GDP, we're not really seeing the full benefit that standards can provide. So coming up with this process, and I was just sort of throwing out there part of it would be something to tackle first, and then in developing the strategy, with surveys of stakeholders to collect and validate the information that would prioritize which areas of standardization should be tackled first and how they relate to other initiatives. Now, outside of this special interest group, there's other climate and digital initiatives that are bringing together related activities that we would want to work with, be a value add to, and then be able to utilize what is coming out of their efforts into what we're doing. And then in parallel, although I'm really focusing around the issue of standards and a standard strategy, how does that relate to the larger strategy of the SIG and achieving its goals for creating the networks and the solutions that create the concrete solutions that help advance the climate actions and achieve the climate goals. Not to take us off on a tangent, we're talking about those other strategies at this point, but to just at least note that those should happen together because the standard strategy doesn't stand on its own. And I don't know if you want me to speak about and to go into any detail on any of those points, or if you'd like to cue discussion at a different point.
No, maybe some folks in the community might have some things to share around this. I think, you know, what Tom just described also exhibits that, you know, we're a special interest group with a focus on hydroledger, but on DLTs in general and climate. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's our responsibility to solve the climate standards for the whole climate challenge. But there is a huge gap around this. And we will need to be able to be part of that discussion, and some of us are active in that general climate discussion, but also bring standards to the role that blockchains have into that and how to be able to leverage new digital tools to meet robust accounting standards. So anyways, that was just my comment around the general climate standards and more DLT-based standards, and they should weave themselves together. I'm wondering if anyone in the group has comments around this that we should consider.
Yeah, it's a really good point that, you know, the issue of the 500 different blockchains is something that I think this group should strive to avoid. But on the SIG site, you know, it says that the climate actions piece is done in the real world, but the recording of it could be done or will be done in the digital world. And I think that when you have a structure of reporting, if you try to envision that sometime in the future where companies and governments report carbon emissions, the reporting mechanism would come onto the blockchain via some sort of user interface tied to a smart contract. And so the standards and data taxonomy around what that is really important and shouldn't get lost in the shuffle here. And it should be one of the first things that we kind of loosely agree on as the foundation for having a common language on the DLT, no matter if you're using Ethereum or Hyperledger, so that we don't have the problem of the 500 different blockchains.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for raising that. And I recall that you kickstarted this discussion last time with that 500 blockchain problem. We will have opportunities to share different things throughout the meetings. We've been working on that actively as well. So when the time comes, I'd love to have the opportunity to share more of our work there.
Yeah, the key thing is going to need to get business and governments involved in the actual reporting piece, and blockchain is supposed to reduce friction of those business processes, and I hope that we can make that happen through this group.
I think this point that's just being discussed right now helps highlight the issue of scoping standards. I think in the climate domain, there's a natural inclination to associate standards with the measurement, reporting, and verification, or, you know, the accounting part of it. But there's many different types of standards, like management system standards and so on, that don't get down to the sort of technical per se. And standards themselves are a component within a spectrum of governance, all the way through standards are incorporated into regulations and laws and policies and so on. And so I think we should also decide what the scope will be. And I wanted to highlight, I think, a point that is getting more and more recognition. I've seen it over the last couple of years, but more recently at leading up to Davos and the World Economic Forum report on global risks for 2020. And at the high end is climate action failure. And COP25, the most recent UN climate conference, wasn't successful. And it's largely around the governance systems that are at the high end. I know standards aren't congruent with that level of governance, but still blockchain and other digital tools, I think, can help transform governance or enable governance innovations to address that end of the spectrum, not simply are we getting good data for accounting, because we can perfect that. And if we can't get the governance system to move, then we're going to see year after year 40 to 50 billion tons go into the atmosphere and reduce the available carbon budget to stay within the goals of 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius increase. And so, sorry to go off on that, but I think that's a really critical consideration in the consideration of scoping a standard strategy.
If I can just come in here, it's Christian here. I'm sitting with Alex. I just stepped into the conversation. I think the WBCSD and the World Resources Institute have got an important role to play. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the WBCSD Greenhouse Gas Protocol, which is basically the grandfather of a number of the greenhouse gas accounting systems that are in use. For example, the under the Kyoto Protocol, the CDM standard was basically an opinionated version of the Greenhouse Gas Protocol. And there has been under the WBCSD, there's been a lot of development of those standards and of calculation tools under the standards and of specific tools for the greenhouse gas implication of a policy or of supply chain. There's project accounting and corporate accounting. So they have really thought these things through. I would almost like to see is how can you take a mature, tried and tested protocol like the Greenhouse Gas Protocol and implement a system where an action is verified against that protocol on the blockchain, and what are the components that needs to be done for that? For me, that's a very practical question to ask a standards. Maybe not write the new Greenhouse Gas Protocol. There is something out there that's mature that gave rise even to other standards for specific situations. And you can say, can we take the most generic form of it, which may be something like the Greenhouse Gas Project Protocol, and analyze what the requirements are in terms of the verification procedures and in terms of the data structures that we need to bring that onto the blockchain, because it's much easier than recording data. The question is, what does the data mean? And what the data means, that is what is given by the protocol, and those are aspects that have to be validated before the data point is even analyzed. So I think a practical question for a standards group would be, take a mature standard, just think through it, what is the implications of bringing this thing into a blockchain platform?
Thanks, Alex. I think that's
Christian, I think that was Christian.
Yeah, that was Christian.
I hate to contradict you, Christian, but the GHG protocol isn't the grandfather of CDM. I was involved in writing that particular greenhouse gas protocol project standard on a chronological basis alone. But there are many types of, at least in the climate space, although I'm pretty sure it goes beyond standards, whether they're de facto NGO-developed standards, such as GHG protocol or de jure standards that are developed under a formal process such as ISO, which is conformant with the WTO's technical barriers to trade rules, which GHG protocol doesn't follow. And then there's process standards, which are both GHG protocol at that level, as well as ISO, versus CDM, which has both process standards and project-specific sort of technical standards that are obviously technology-specific. So I think all of that system, and some estimates are there's about 15,000 climate standards specifically related to greenhouse gas accounting and emission reductions that are, they're not interoperable. They weren't designed to be, unfortunately, but that was just the situation we found ourselves in over the last 20 years is let's get some standards and get this going because it's inherently complex and we'll rationalize the system afterwards. And I think that's an important part to address as part of this process of developing a strategy is to clarify what are these different standards, their strengths and weaknesses, and then come up with a strategy to build on top of what is a good base and to improve upon where we need improvements.
Thanks both. And I would agree that I wouldn't necessarily link the greenhouse gas protocol from WRI to the Clean Development Mechanism. But I think I think it's Alex, or is it Christian? Because I see the microphone being Alex Howard.
It was Christian.
Sitting
at my computer.
Oh, gotcha.
Next to me.
I think you raise a good point of like taking an existing consolidated protocol, like the greenhouse gas protocol, which is used for measuring carbon footprints of companies, et cetera, with scope 1, 2, and 3, and then looking at what are the needs and pain points when you start to digitize that, particularly, for example, auditing a greenhouse gas protocol work. Historically, that's been an expensive thing that companies like PwC do, et cetera. I think it's a good point to say, okay, let's take some of the existing ones and generically walk through what are the key points that need to be considered to digitize that that standard and allow for third-party low-cost verification. Just being very conscious of time, we have 15 minutes left, and I think that we already see the glimpse of how relevant the standards discussion is and how it requires its own set of working group. And so this kind of came in from the point of view of our ability as a SIG to create these working groups that can meet at a separate point or create sessions after our meeting and start moving this forward. I think one of the main points that Tom wanted to put across and that I want to echo is on one side we have standards and the other side we have the strategy behind those standards. And so the role and maybe responsibility that we can have to start pushing forward a strategy is, I think, a very important first step. And Tom, if you are available for the next couple of weeks to put together a first draft proposal of a strategy, and I can invite anyone else that can contribute to that into the table, I think that's going to be extremely beneficial. We can set up these two working groups, one working on the strategy and governance and the other one more on some initial standards that we want to be able to start working on. And I don't see why greenhouse gas protocol would not be a first place to start there. What are everyone's thoughts? And if that's the case, then we can start by setting up these working groups in the wiki and describing what their role is and allowing for people to start adding themselves into those topics.
Martin, if I can just quickly follow on to say, just to clarify what I think I heard you say, is over the next couple of weeks, I would certainly be happy to contribute towards outlining a process to develop a strategy, but not create a draft strategy on or that a working group could build on. I think a good process to develop that draft strategy is imperative.
Yes. Okay, great. No, I guess I was jumping ahead, but I like that you're proposing a process to develop the strategy and then the strategy to develop the standards.
Gentlemen, Dennis Bitnagin here. So I've shared some thoughts this morning, and since we are talking about strategy, so the paramount question I have, what are we going to measure through the standards? So one thing is greenhouse gas emissions that we can reduce or measure through consumption, and that's fine. And another issue is measuring greenhouse emission reduction. And this is the core of this global climate change. So it makes sense if we achieve these reductions. But in this area, I see a lot of problems for accounting and standardized accounting because of the lack of the data about emissions through the manufacturing process of energy installation. So perhaps in our strategy we can define what exactly we are going to account, just emissions or emissions reductions.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dennis, and I think it goes to Tom's comment around scoping standards, which we'll realize it can get quite broad, because even there are standards around devices that are used to measure any form of climate action, whether it's emission adaptation, mitigation. So I'll go ahead and create those spaces for everyone to add themselves, and I'd love to continue moving forward with our topics, so that the SIG doesn't become our meetings don't become about standards, and we can spin this off as a specific working group for those that are particularly interested and active within that. The next point was creating a resource section for Hyperledger technology frameworks that are relevant for climate accounting. We've talked last time about the role that digital identifiers, DIDs, can have within climate accounting in general. Hyperledger Indy has a lot of work on DIDs. I think between Indy and the Sovereign Foundation are probably one of the most advanced projects around it. Hyperledger Ares also leverages DIDs, and the province of British Columbia has been working on it, and they're starting to work around the use of Hyperledger Ares for monitoring origin of commodities like natural gas. When we started working around climate accounting in Hyperledger, we started working with Sawtooth, and now we're doing some experiences in Airoha. So the point around this is to have everyone in the community share what type of technology frameworks from Hyperledger have already been used for anything that's relevant to climate and or energy, so that it helps us understand mapping how the different frameworks, Hyperledger calls it their greenhouse, of solutions are relevant for climate. So I will create a section in the resource tab, particularly around this, and I would encourage everyone in the community to contribute to it. If anyone has something to mention around experience that they've had using a specific existing Hyperledger framework for a climate relevant action, I'd love for anyone online to share something.
Hi, it's Mohammed from Block C. We've recently been certified with Hyperledger Besu, and we just released the early version of our solution for sustainability monitoring, reporting, verification, tracking the origin of renewable energy. And our plan is like we're going to be creating an additional transparency layer over existing tracking systems. And we are currently working with Hyperledger Besu and the Pegasus team to release our solution. We're currently working with piloting with an energy company here in Turkey, and we're planning to take this to Germany in the next year or so.
That's great, Mohammed. That's a great kickstart of that. And I'll ping you as we're creating that resource section so that you can also share how you've leveraged Besu for certificates of origin in the case of energy. And I'm assuming that that's also relevant because a lot of the work done in certificates of origin of energy have been doing around the Ethereum world, particularly Energy Web Foundation, or closely with Ethereum technology. And so the role that Besu can have to tap into the Ethereum virtual machine, but having more info around your specific project would be great.
Chris Gabriel here again. On Hyperchain Labs, we've done the same thing effectively on the Hyperledger Fabric side. And then we've also done a carbon credits network that was a hybrid of Besu and Hyperledger Fabric, so the Ethereum virtual machine on Hyperledger. But if you go into the use cases section at hyperledger.org, you'll see Hyperchain Labs is in there next to Walmart. On the IBM Food Trust, we run cloud agnostic, but there's a video to how we integrate IoT into our existing oil and gas blockchain network. And we're going to be announcing here on LinkedIn soon the results of our integration of CO2 sensors into that same network.
Great, that's also great. And did you mention, Chris, that you mostly have been using Hyperledger Fabric? Is there any other framework that you've used for this?
Hyperledger Fabric and the Ethereum virtual machine on top. So it's a combination. Mostly it's Hyperledger Fabric, but we also have the capability of doing it through Ethereum and the Ethereum virtual machine also running on Fabric. And the use case was that we wanted anybody
I don't know if it's just me, but I've lost audio from you, Chris.
Zoom has been pretty, can you hear me now?
You're back.
Okay. So we did a hybrid where users could sign up using the Ethereum app, but the Ethereum app connected to the Hyperledger Fabric network for the certification and issuance of certificates and identities. So it's a hybrid. So we've done both of them, but those are effectively it.
Great. I'm making some quick comments about what you're saying, and I encourage both of you to go back in and edit it, since I might not have the ideal, the perfect description, and then obviously we can put this.
Yeah, I know we're out of time here, so I was keeping it brief, and if you put the section in there, I can add more color to it online.
Great. Okay, so that's also, that helps kickstart the role of existing Hyperledger frameworks relevant for climate applications and getting to know who's been working on which and what are the pros and cons that they've found. Would love to contribute more around the Sawtooth and Iroh Hub and Indy. The next thing we wanted to talk about was around the topic of Artem migrating to the Climate Action SIG. Folks have been following those email threads. What I understood from the SIG, and I wanted maybe David Boswell, if you're online, to maybe give your opinion, is rather than incubating specific ongoing projects where we have already code within being migrated into the SIG, what that provides a great opportunity is for us to create discussion around setting up a lab, let's say a Hyperledger Climate Lab, where we can start working with code, existing, new, and then eventually that might lead to a framework, let's say. And the analogy that I give is Hyperledger Grid is a domain-specific framework, different from Fabric or Sawtooth or Indie, because Hyperledger Grid is specific for supply chains. And so that's a great goal that we can have around being able to create a climate-specific domain framework, rather than having the SIG incubating these, the role that labs can have. And maybe, David, since we're running out of time, you can talk about that, whether you think that's a good way of us scoping out the SIG of where it starts, where it ends, and talking a bit about Hyperledger Labs. And last thing is, why don't you also talk about the summer mentorship program?
Sure, are you able to hear me?
Yep.
Great. Well, I know we're really short on time, so I'll be really brief, and I guess we should bump this to the next conversation, but just really quickly, you know, we had talked about the infrastructure for community building that's been set up around the SIG so far, such as these calls and the chat channel and the mailing list. So that's basically what the Hyperledger Labs is at a very high level. It's infrastructure for collaboration around technical work. So some of our special interest groups have taken advantage of that. For example, the healthcare group and the telecom group also have labs associated with them where they are doing some technical work as well. They've wanted that sort of additional infrastructure for community around the technical opportunities they're pursuing. We can perhaps take a look at those as models for what our group wants to do, but I would just say, why don't we as a group before the next meeting think about what it is that we would do if we want to have some infrastructure for collaboration around code. You know, what is it that the group is wanting to achieve? Maybe that's a good discussion to have on the mailing list that we could then, you know, use to have a fuller discussion next week. And then that goes to the mentoring opportunity. Every summer, Hyperledger funds around a dozen different students all around the world who are interested in working on different projects that members of the Hyperledger community have proposed would be good for students to work on. So just to throw that out there as an opportunity. It might not be something that's right for the group at this point, but applications for mentoring proposals are available for submission now. So if there was anything that the group wanted to have, any technical work that we wanted to have a mentor work on, again, it may or may not be the right fit, but just to throw that out as an opportunity that is available right now. And again, I know we're out of time. And I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to talk about the chat issues either, but we can move some of this to the mailing list and we can certainly talk more next week or 2 weeks from now.
Thanks, David. We've actually covered most of the things that we had. One thing that we missed is coming up with ideas for next meetings. I will send a summary of the meeting with a link to the wiki where people can add ideas, can add to the resource section to start contributing to a working group discussion. And I'll post the minutes that we went over. And if anyone's going to be in the Hyperledger Global Forum, the Climate Action SIG will have a couple of presents in the forum. I'll be a part of a panel with John Jordan from the British Columbia team, who's been working on Hyperledger Aries, and with Shelley Goodman from Linus Foundation Energy, talking about how all these things can relate to climate. Then we'll be also hosting Birds of a Feather within the forum to talk about the SIG. And I think a video and some other things, and I'll kiosk. I think that's the other thing. So please, I'm Martin. So please reach out if you will be in the forum, and then we'll be able to create a little in-person SIG meeting. Our next meetings are, we've established last time that this was a suitable time for most members. So our next meeting would be March 9, and then after that, March 23. Tom, unfortunately, would not be able to join, so if you have something to share, Tom, before that, you'll be able to come back around March 30, which is three meetings from now. And what we'd love to start bouncing with everyone is to have maybe a 30-minute slot after our meeting slot for ongoing projects to share what they're working on. So we've had already voices from Hyperchain, from Nova, different groups working on active projects that might be able to do a 50-minute presentation, kind of like a webinar. And since we're not able to talk more about it, we'll talk about it next week, next meeting, and then we'll create a slot for people to add themselves into maybe two or three slots per session. How does that sound? And with that, I'd love to just open up for comments and last mentions. And by the way, I have 50 more minutes to stick around as well.
Hi, it's Jan again. One thing that I haven't heard yet that I think is important to mention, just to keep in the back of our heads, I believe is the involvement of the scientific and research communities, because there are two reasons mainly for this. One is whatever standards, frameworks, and solutions are going to be part of this special interest group are feeding into research. All the numbers that we can record on distributed ledgers help the scientific community in their work, because they can use them as reliable data. And on the other hand, there is also use of blockchain technology in science, where, for example, the Max Planck Institute in Germany is experimenting with recording the early work while a paper might not be published yet, and it usually takes 2 years to just record the existence of work that is ongoing, where distributed ledgers helps the scientific community as well. So it seems to me that a lot of people are coming from NGOs or even non-profit groups or for-profit groups. I don't know if we have anybody from the scientific community in this group yet.
Thanks, Jan. That's a great point. And actually, we interact with, obviously, with different scientific groups, but I'd love to be able to invite them more actively. I can think of the PubSem Institute, for example, different groups like that.
Awesome.
Any other things that we should add, or ideas that before we take off you'd like to contribute?
Just a quick question on Global Forum. They were talking about having the birds of a feather tables there, and I didn't know if the climate SIG and accounting group wanted to utilize that to get together or find a common meeting place at Global Forum.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris. So I did book a slot to create that for the SIG, so that's already booked. And what I will do is I'll add that detail to the minutes, so anyone that will be at the forum will see that information. The slot for the kiosk, the slot for the panel, the slot for the birds of a feather. So that's a great idea. I'll add that to specific details and date and time.
Perfect, thanks.
Dennis Bitnagin, I have a question regarding interoperability. So I come from energy, climate science, and projects, not very well familiar with blockchain. So as Soramitsu, we have a grant from Web3 Foundation for implementation of Polkadot. So interoperability with permissionless blockchains. And what about interoperability between different Hyperledger frameworks? That all can have some specific projects relevant for our group.
Yeah, that's a great point as well. I think that potentially could be a subgroup within the working group that could be developed around interoperability. So going back to, I think, Chris's comment of the 500 blockchain problem, there's already, you know, just the within Hyperledger, who's working on interoperability between the frameworks. I think David at some point mentioned to me that there is a group working on that. So whenever we want to pick that up, when we set up that working group, we can invite folks from the Hyperledger community, that are involved in that to share their work.
Okay.
Okay, if no pressing voice still is still wanting to share something, I will post the recording for everyone to catch up on what was said. I look forward to seeing those that will be in the forum. I thank everyone again for bringing in their voices and their backgrounds into the discussion. This is a slow process of meeting every 2 weeks and starting to shape up the SIG. And I think we're starting with good shape. Tom, I don't know if you want to say some last words before we'll miss you for the next meetings.
Well, to my previous point, I'm happy to contribute to defining a process related to standards and strategy. And I think as a SIG overall, I think the wiki will start to document it, but how we structure the overall work plan so that the work on standards is correlated nicely with the rest of the activities of the SIG.
Great. I think that's going to be very useful. And I think that probably the process that you might suggest will be useful for not just to develop a strategy for standards, but it probably will give us an insight on strategies for other things like interoperability and scoping different things that we can develop within the SIG. So very, very relevant.
Thanks.
I think that's it.
Thanks again, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Please follow up on all of the topics that we mentioned in what I will post on Wiki. So you can go in and then add things. If you're having issues on the chat, here's a last thing I wanted to mention actually is the email list that we have actually organizes topics based on the title of the email. So if the title of the email says like next meeting number two, we can use, you can respond to that in regards to the meeting. If you want to talk about a new topic around standards, then I encourage you to create a new email thread that says discussion on standards for whatever, the first part of the year, and then people can continue that thread. So in some sense, our email list already has an embedded kind of like chat mechanism. So beware of that when you're reaching out with emails, and it will help us organize these things. So I'll create a new email thread with a follow-up from the second meeting, and then anything that you want to add as a follow-up to that, you can do it directly there. And then you're free to create new email threads with a new title. So I think that was the last kind of like housekeeping point that I wanted to make. Other than that, thanks everyone. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to seeing those in the forum in person.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.